everyday witches emerge from the shadows of secrecy. Broom closets are flinging open and witches are taking flight. Whether you are hiding in your cozy closet or flying with pride, stay for a spell as Witch Casting with Theodora Pendragon and her guests share magical moments, stir the cauldron, and debunk misinformation and misconceptions about paganism, witches, and our wonderful world of magic.
Hello again. I'm your host, Theodora Pendragon, and my special guest today is Rachel, and I cannot pronounce her last name, but she is the intuitive coach for Badassery. Hello, Rachel.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's Fiorentino, Rachel Fiorentino.
It's very pretty, but for some reason I get tongue-tied with that.
It is a complicated one.
So what does that mean? Intuitive coach for badassery. It sounds pretty badass.
It is, right? So my whole purpose of doing the tarot readings is to be able to kind of bridge the gap between science, self-development, and spirituality, and be able to utilize the tarot cards to be able to kind of merge those all three together. And I figured the best way to be able to merge those three together is by using your badass self. And hence the reason for the badassery portion of it. I like to call myself a intuitive coach. Again, just because it's the idea of like bridging the gap of all of those processes together to be able to come out with the best version of yourself and to be on your best path possible.
How did your path start?
Yeah, so I started off probably when I was about 9 years old. I was always listening to those, like, the radio shows about psychics and mediums and UFOs. And I don't know if you're familiar with Art Bell, but yeah, I was listening to him when I was little and just really was so fascinated by it. And then about 12, was just developing more and more into reading about, like, mythology and the tarot and just you know, symbology, everything I could get my hands on. I was always trying to read about it. And then about 16, I got my first deck and just, again, just so in love with them. From there, a teacher came to me about age 18, where he really kind of took me under his wing and kind of showed me the difference between, you know, reading from the book and actually getting into that intuitive side or psychic side, whatever terminology people want to use, but to be able to really get into that deeper level of reading the cards. And from there, I've just been skyrocketing ever since. I've been reading for about 30 years. During the 30 years of reading, I've also gotten a degree in business management, in nursing, got certified in life coaching and law of attraction coaching as well. So as you can tell, I'm kind of a bit of a bookworm where just, you know, I think it's all part of the process with the cards.
With your cards, you pronounce tarot, I pronounce it tarot. It's
yeah,
all the
I
same,
don't think,
right?
I think yeah. It's, yeah, tomato, tomato. Yeah.
The tarot cards can be used for self-improvement, manifesting, coaching, and reading the future.
Yes, all of the above. Yeah. So the way I like to do it is I usually do like a past, present, and future kind of reading where together with my client, we look into the future and see if that's the way we want it to go. So for example, let's say in the future, I see that you're going to maybe lose your job or get fired, something really drastic, you know, well, then we can look for the present and see, okay, what's going on? What are we doing wrong? And do we want to get fired? Do we want to hold on to our job until we have control? Well, that's when we look at the present and be able to figure out what do we need to do to prevent that from happening. So I think that's where a lot of those coaching skills start coming into play, or the manifesting and self-development, to be able to figure out what do we need to do here and now to change our future. So again, whether it's if we're getting fired or something like that, something drastic, we can look and say, okay, well, stop screwing up, stop being stupid. You know, let's get in. Why do we hate this job? And what do we need to do it? And let's change that before somebody takes that away from us. You know, when we get fired, that's an opportunity that the universe kind of has taken control because we couldn't do it ourselves. So let's figure out in a self-development way of what can we do to take control again of our own life and create our own manifestation, to be able to create our own position or job that we want versus based on what other people want for us.
You mentioned the law of attraction. How do you use life coaching and law of attraction with the cards?
Yeah. So again, it's like when we're looking at our future or even looking at our present on what we want, we can see how can we bring that into our life? Or is it something, sometimes we don't even know what we want until we can sit down with a reader and be able to really kind of dig deep. And sometimes when somebody else kind of says it out loud, it triggers something within our own subconscious to be able to go, oh, yes, that feels right with me. That resonates, that vibrates with my soul that I'd never even thought about. So like, for example, I'll just throw this out. Let's say that somebody's, you know, wanting to make money, right? Love money. Money is a great thing, but it's about manifesting what you want to do with that money. So for example, let's say that I'm reading your cards and I say, okay, great. You know, I see you coming into a lot of money. Let's figure out what we're going to do with that money. I might see something about, let's create a foundation or, you know, some kind of nonprofit or something. Well, my client might have never thought about that. And now is like, oh my God, that's how I've always wanted to change the world, is to be able to create a nonprofit. Okay, great. Let's get in deeper. Let's try to figure out what can we do then? What could your nonprofit be? And then that triggers that prepared mind to be able to start manifesting what you want. And that kind of just continues on that cycle of triggering more and more and more of what we can do. So sometimes it's really hard to get from point A to point B without somebody kind of guiding you in that. And that's where a reader comes into play, of being able to like guide you on your higher self, universe, source, whatever terminology people like to use for that, to be able to help guide you from point A to point B. And that's all part about manifesting, law of attraction. What we put in is what we get out. It all kind of comes together.
Well, just recently, a woman who is at my gym asked me, how do I manifest? I mean, that's a broad question.
Right.
What would you tell someone about how they can manifest?
Sure. And there's so many different ways to manifest, which is great. And it can resonate with each individual person. I think it depends on where they're at in their journey. So for example, like somebody like you, who's been manifesting and has been creating for a long time, those, you know, my suggestions might be a little different about how to coach you to manifest versus somebody that maybe has never heard of law of attraction, but is wanting to start learning more about it. So maybe somebody from the gym, there'd be a different coaching experience there. Again, it just kind of depends on where they're at in life. But I think the greatest and easiest way to kind of attract is to decide. Once we can decide, we start opening our mind. We prepare our mind to start seeing the little signs that we have in the universe. So once we decide, we can start looking around for those opportunities. We can start looking to see what that feels like. We can start opening our hearts and mind to an opportunity that we might not have done otherwise. So for example, let's say we're trying to build a business, you know, well, so your manifestation might kind of look like, okay, I need you to start opening your eyes to opportunities that's going to create a bigger business. Whether you like it or not, you just need to start having your eyes open. And so you can start something very basic like that. You can do like the vision boards, which is a great representation. I love it because it brings in that creativity. It brings in kind of a deeper level because of that creativity and higher self that we can put into a vision board. Meditation is always great. It's always great to be able to like record your voice of the things that maybe you want to manifest in your life. Let's say good health. So you can record your own voice saying things that you want to do and create. And that's going to prepare your mind and open your mind to see and notice when the opportunities arise.
You decide, you see with your vision board, and when you see it, you believe it and feel that it's happening.
Yes, and you take that action. Mm-hmm.
In the tarot cards, we have the Fool's card. Mm-hmm. We can refer to that as the Fool's journey or the Hero's journey. How does that pertain to the cards?
Yeah, so the term was originally coined by Joseph Campbell, who did what's called the Hero's Journey. So in the Hero's Journey is what he's noticed is that every myth that we have in this world, I don't think that has been changed yet or anything, but every myth that comes that we've heard about throughout our lives follows the same trend of this hero's journey. So that's where the hero kind of, you know, is pure of heart and is resistant to a new journey or a new change and then ends up accepting the change, going down deep to be able to learn about what we need to learn and kind of come back around on the other end. There's actually four parts that kind of goes around. Well, the tarot, the major arcana cards, follows the exact same path. So it follows the idea that we're the fool. And so we're the hero, we're the fool. We start off as being this kind of, you know, the zero card, this, I don't want to say empty shell, but this shell that needs to go on adventures, really. And so by every card that we go through is the same kind of card or the same story that every myth has ever followed. So as we're going it through it, you know, even to the death, rebirth, and coming back home, that's the same thing that's going on with the hero's journey. And just as a side note, which really cracks people up, is that that is the exact same storyline as Star Wars. Star Wars, Luke Skywalker is the hero, you know, so he's the fool. And he's going through the exact same storyline as all of us do in this world. So this is just how our soul's kind of created. We like to find patterns in this world. And that is the pattern, is the major arcana that we all follow. Sometimes we go backwards, sometimes we go forward, sometimes we jump steps, but it's still the same storyline that goes back around.
Have you been wanting to ride your broom like you stole it, rather than hiding in the shadows? Theodora Pendragon is here to help your magic shine, whether you want to show the world your subtle sparkle or you really want to light your fire. Visit Theodora's online store at witchcasting.shop. That's witchcasting.shop. Remember, there's never been a better time to be a witch.
What advice would you give people about starting or increasing their knowledge of tarot cards?
Yeah, great question. So I look at it as probably a little bit different than other people. I think it's good to start off reading the book, you know, that comes with the tarot deck. Or you can even find there's like the greatest book I think ever is like The 78 Degrees of Wisdom from Rachel Pollack. Amazing, amazing book. However, I am in the concept that you should just read one tarot book. Just read one. But then from there, start reading about synchronicity. Start reading about the laws of coincidences. Start reading about symbology and mythology and the hero's journey. Start reading more about that because the cards all have those in them. Every artist that has drawn these cards has those stories that are in them. How we reach our intuitiveness is by being able to see what a card means and what the symbols mean and be able to see them together for our client. So read a tarot book. Absolutely. I don't want to put any of the, we've got amazing books out there, but you need to dig deeper into symbology and dig deeper into mythology, because that's where you're going to start connecting that intuitive aspect of ourselves and for their client. For example, you know, you might see a card. We'll just start with the Fool card, right? So with Rider Waite Smith deck, you know, you see the little fool that's about to jump off the cliff, right? Well, during a reading, all of a sudden, for some reason, you might zero in on that dog that's next to the fool. And there's a reason. That's where that intuition's coming in. So that's why it's like, if you read about symbology about a dog, then you'll know how that is and how that relates to your client. So, for example, maybe loyalty is becoming an issue right now. Maybe the client is really expecting some loyalty on a new relationship. Well, if you knew the symbologies that's within the cards, you'll be able to understand it and kind of point more towards towards the reader. So it's not, you know, fool's not always going to be a fool. And, you know, the death is not always going to be a death, but you might see images that's going to represent what your client is needing. And that's where that symbology is coming into play.
What you're saying is intuition is very important when reading the cards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And just reading a card and saying, oh, here's a fool, that's reading a piece of paper. That's not getting into your intuition. It's a matter of knowing what the symbols on the card represents is going to be able to trigger that intuition.
You mentioned that you like to read and you studied philosophy and psychology. And how do you apply that to science and the cards?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I love about the cards is that they really are all interconnected. So when we talk about science, when it comes to science and sociology and psychology to the cards, there's really a connection that Carl Jung is a psychoanalyst that was able to kind of combine a lot of the cards together, a lot of this theory of synchronicity together. So by combining it, we get this science-based, which I think is very important. I'm a big believer that we're going to learn a lot more about everything that's happening. We'll be able to be explained scientifically. And so is the card. So for example, when we start talking about the laws of or the theory of synchronicity. So synchronicity is the idea that what my unconscious self connects with my outside self. And again, we can use that concept of like source, God, universe, unconscious. There's so many different words that we can use, but this unconscious self gets connected with our conscious self. And we start seeing it connected in the world of matter, like our material world. So that's where we kind of ask for signs. But what also happens is that we've prepared our mind to be able to see these signs as well. So let's say, for example, that I want to see a sign that says I'm on the right path. And let's say I want to see a red rose. So I'm going to start looking around for a red rose to say, hey, because this is the path I really want to be on. And I really want confirmation that I am on the right path. So by being able to do that, right, I'm going to do a couple of things. I'm going to start looking into every garden there is, right, because I want this path for myself. So I'm going to look for every garden I can find until I find a red rose. So I get my confirmation. That's, again, that unconscious seeking out the consciousness and being able to see it in the material world. Now, we can also look at it the other direction. Let's say that I do not want to get on this path. I do not feel like a path is good for me, and I'm really resistant of it, and I want a sign to make sure that I don't want to be on this path. Well, we take the red rose again, for example. I'm not looking in gardens to try to find a red rose. I'll probably put blinders on every time I even come across a flower bed. You know, I'm going to do everything in the consciousness or the material world to be able to make sure that I don't see a red rose, so I don't have to be on that path. Again, that's just the connection of the unconscious to the consciousness.
You've done hundreds and thousands of readings for people.
Yes.
Tell us who your clients are.
Oh, yeah. I've got amazing clients. And they're just from all over walks of life. So I have got a very high level entrepreneurs that are running amazing, you know, seven-figure businesses. And I help them be able to continue with those decisions that have to be made on that high level entrepreneur. I also have clients that are just starting out in this world that have just learned about self-development, that feel like they need to look more into it. And they happen to have found me and feel a connection to be able to feel strongly with learning about manifestation and coaching and self-development all through the power of the cards. And then anywhere in between. So, I mean, between newlyweds to people that have been married 50 plus years, I do couples readings and business readings, and oh, it just goes on and on and on. But I can say that seeing my clients and how they've elevated in this world, I know that that's like that direct connection of that I'm making this world a better place to live in.
You have an eclectic clientele.
I do. I think I like being able to find the people that are kind of newbies at all of this and be able to show them that there's so much that we can do with the cards other than just sit in and read. There's so much that we can do with them.
Do you encounter people who are apprehensive about the cards?
Yeah, I do. Where they're curious. They've had friends that have said, oh yeah, you have to try it. It's amazing. But I think when they kind of learn that, one, that I'm a nurse as well as a tarot reader, I think with nursing being the most trusted profession, I think that kind of opens the door a little bit of going, oh, okay, like she can't be all that bad. She's a nurse, right? So between that and...
She's normal.
Yeah, she's normal. Exactly. And she knows, yeah, she's basing it on self-development and psychology versus extreme woo-woo-ness. She's not a Miss Cleo. What's going on here? You know, so I think that that kind of starts opening up that door a little bit when they realize that tarot readers are just normal people trying to help each other out. And I think once we kind of break through that little barrier, people have been very happy with their readings.
You mentioned that you're a nurse.
Yes.
Does that conflict with the tarot cards at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. So I think with nursing is based on reading books and learning all about what you need to be able to keep people healthy and moving forward in their path on health and wellness. With the cards, it's very similar, where we have to read a book to get our foundation, and then the intuition takes over. So with nursing, it's all about a lot of intuition too, is that I've got to take all of this data and come up with what is right for you to be able to get you on your health and well-being journey. It's the same thing with the tarot, is that I'm collecting all this data through the cards and I use my intuition to turn around and help you with your best, you know, spiritual self-development journey as well.
Typically, what kinds of questions do your clients ask you during a reading?
That's a very good question. Yes. People are always worried about like, How do they ask questions? So there's a couple of things that I say to people is that if you have specific questions, ask them. You know, the cards may or may not give you a specific answer, but you can always ask. I do say that open-ended questions are always going to be the best. So, you know, the idea of like, what do I need to learn for this new job? What do I need to know about this new relationship? Things like that. So leave it open-ended where the universe can tell you what you might need to know through your unconscious self or what you're wanting to know. So open-ended questions are always great. You can always ask specific, but you can always ask anything. The only thing is that I say that no reader should ever be able to see death. I think that's extremely arrogant on the reader's side if they say that they can see death. That's not how it works. I do say that is a very intimate question that is just between you and your universe, your God, your higher self, that no reader should ever be involved in that.
Can you tell us what the death card means then?
Yes, it is one of my favorite cards. I know that's always kind of, it's one of those when people see it, their eyes get very big. Death is that death and rebirth, which is amazing, right? So I look at it as being like the end of a chapter of your life, beginning of a new one. Why I love the death card versus other cards in the deck is that the death card is something that we've taken on ourselves. We're the one that wanted that death and rebirth. We're the ones that wanted to end a chapter of our life and start a whole fresh chapter. So we had control over that. The Tower card, for example, I say is probably the harshest card because the Tower card is not in our control anymore. We're having that death and rebirth, but it's not in our control. The universe has taken us and moved us, you know, wherever we needed to go because we couldn't do it ourselves. But what hurts is, again, is not having that control. So we're going to land wherever the universe places us versus the death card is this a very gentle, you know, it's so much more of a gentle and progressive form of change versus a very abrupt, out of control, chaotic change like the Tower.
So in other words, the death card is finishing a chapter and starting a new one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I always like it because imagine your whole life, you have this whole fresh, clean picture of your life book that's just ready to be written again. And you get to write whatever you want. So what is that going to be? It seems very exciting to me when you can write a whole new chapter. One of my favorite quotes is that you are in no obligation to be the person you were 5 minutes ago. So that's kind of that essence of that death card, right? Is that I can change whoever I want to be. I don't have to be that person. I can have my clean slate again in 5 minutes because that person was no longer serving me.
I like that. 5 minutes.
Might be pretty fast, but yeah.
That works for me.
Exactly. I've said some stupid things, so I know it's nice to be able to go, oh, never mind. That's not who I am anymore.
Do you ever read the cards for yourself?
I do. And it's taken me a long time to be able to get there because I was always too biased. Like anybody who reads the cards, right, will always know that you're too biased. And when you put something down, you're just all like, no, that's not me. You know, I'm going to just ignore that. So what I got some really great advice. And the advice was to read the cards out loud as if you're reading it to somebody else. And then so like I'll even record it, like I'm recording it to, you know, to my other self, so to speak. And I'll just read the cards like I would for anybody else. And then I'll listen to my recording and go, oh, okay, I get it. But for me, that is the only way I've been able to read for myself.
Oh, that's a very objective way of reading for yourself.
Exactly. Just pretend that you're reading for a client. So what are you going to say to a client? So that way you almost take out your ego out of the equation and you're just reading. The hard part, though, is taking your own advice. That's where it comes.
Yeah, but you know what? We all know what we're supposed to do. If we just listen to that higher self.
Exactly.
We really do know.
We know the answers.
We can ask 10 people what their opinion is, but deep down, we really know.
We do. We just like that confirmation.
What are some of your favorite spreads?
Oh, you know, that's a great question. So I think when I'm doing really in-depth readings, I'll do this past, present, and future. And then as we continue on with the readings, I just throw more cards on to kind of keep going in deeper and deeper. I've never seen anyone use this. I know I need to look up sacred geometry or something to find out like how this spread, but it's basically you end up putting 5 cards down with one in the middle, 4 around. So it's 5 cards for each past, present, and future. So I love doing that to getting in really deep, but I also always use like 3 cards. For just like clarifying questions. Like, you know, if I'm just walking by and I'm like, oh, there's a good business opportunity for me, you know, I'll grab 3 cards. And I like it because it can mean past, present, future. It could also mean, you know, like emotional, mental, and physical health. It can also mean, you know, body, mind, and spirit. It can mean so many things when you use the 3 cards. And I think those 3 cards is what always, for me, gives me a little bit more precise answers versus a full spread. Or I should say a full, you know, 15-card spread or more.
With a 3-card spread, have you ever done like a daily reading with just 3 cards? Like, oh, let me start my day. I'm going to do a 3-card spread.
Yeah. So when I was like, for like things that are really coming up in my life, I will do that in the mornings of like, you know, I'll do my meditation and then go, okay, so what, you know, how is this day going to go? And so I love doing that. I do say that for like people starting off, just to do it as a one card spread, especially if you're reading for yourself, because then there's less room for biasness if you're just using one card. So one card is so easy to do, to be able to go like, yeah, how's my day going? And throw one card down and go, okay, I love it, you know, or I better keep my eyes open for some things.
I love it too. Just one card. That's really simple. You have to be very objective for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So in my classes, I'll teach my students to be able to go like, you have to just pull one card a day and write down what you see. So not what the card means, but what you see. So again, like if that full card's there, you're going to say like, I see a dog, I see a yellow rose, I see this, I see that. And then at night, you write down what happened. So just in, you know, just in a few words, you don't have to write a book about what your day was. But what you happen to start seeing is that you're going to start seeing the connections of what you saw on the card and what your intuition is guiding you. So maybe you did see like a yellow rose today. Well, there's, you know, something that is very clearly connected with the card. You know, something might have happened to somebody's dog that you had to listen to. And you're like, oh, you know, and you had to create some empathy around a dog story. So, you know, there's all these things that will be able to start getting you more connected to those cards.
You teach and you have students.
Yes, yes.
Tell us about your courses.
Yeah. So right now I've only been doing them in person in the Denver, Colorado area. But I am reaching out to being able to record these classes and then be able to have them on my website. So you can still do the same thing and you would still have access to me to be able to, you know, still answer those questions or help you kind of make those connections together. Because I think being in a group is still very important. So I'm working on hopefully being able to do like live Zoom classes so we can still all work together. Because I think that's where the magic happens, so to speak, is when everybody can work together and go, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? But yeah, so I've been teaching classes for many, many years to be able to kind of do the same way that my teacher taught me to be able to get into that intuitiveness that I try to turn around and share that to others, because I think everybody is capable of reading.
Wow. So it sounds like you're going to step up your game and offer it virtually so we all can take a class.
Yes, yes, yes.
That sounds fabulous.
Yes, I know. I think my students have just absolutely enjoyed it. And I just feel like, yeah, that I think in this world is ready to start doing more and more of it. I think we've got generations now of people that are just so antsy to be able to just soak up this new kind of found knowledge.
Oh, definitely. Our woo-woo world is expanding.
It is. It's so much different than what it was 30 years ago. Yes.
I know. And when I first started this podcast, I joined a group on Facebook called Need a Guest, where I found you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So my very first post, I thought, okay, here it goes. Let's see if I get nobody. And to my surprise, I was bombarded with people who were interested in being my guest.
I love that. I love that.
Yes. It was so exciting.
Well, and it shows you also that the world is ready for these things. The world is ready for... So this is just kind of my own philosophy, is that I think we've gone from so long of where authoritative figures have told us kind of how to think, feel, and be connected to the world. And now I think we're going into the opposite direction, right? Where it's like all of us, you know, everybody that wants to be connected is telling other people how to be able to be connected and how to elevate themselves.
And you know what I think is a big part of this? And this is my opinion.
Of course.
Pluto was in Capricorn for the last 15 years and is now in Aquarius.
Yes, yes.
The age of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get better.
That's right. Yeah, it is. It is. And I've got to tell you, I know I'm going to sound like a little old lady here, and I apologize, but I have never seen such an amazing a group of kids anymore that is just wanting so much to understand the ways of all of this, of the woo-woo-ness, the cards, the being a part of nature. And it's just, it's amazing. I've never felt more of like, we're going to be okay. You know, we're going to be okay. These kids are going to change this world and make it a better place for all of us.
They are. We're changing the world. Just what we're doing right now.
Right. But kind of as that, well, I don't know about you, but I'm a crone. So as my crone level.
I am too. We have two old crones here.
Yes, yes. But you know, what's the best thing that crones can do is turn around and share their knowledge with the world and have them take it to that next level that we didn't get to yet, but we're going to still share our knowledge and our ways of the world so they can take it and keep going with it further than what we ever thought about.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So our magic is shining bright.
It's about time.
Is there anything that you would like to tell the listeners as far as what we've chatted about today?
This has been such a fun conversation. Oh my goodness. Yes. No, I want to say thank you. And I'm just, if you can't tell, I just love doing the cards. And I just hope everybody else can find their love of the cards as well, because these cards are really meant for everybody and anybody that wants to dig deeper into them. They just have to study and get going. But everybody's capable of reading. And my goal in life is that, you know, the cards are become mainstream, and that it's that when people go for a job interview, they're going to be like, yes, I'm going to consult the cards real quick before I accept your offer. And it's fine. Everybody understands what that means, and it's mainstream, and that everybody knows it and loves it too.
All right. So how many decks do you have?
So this is really funny, and people always laugh at me. I only have one. I have had the same deck. I've had the same deck since I was 16.
I was not expecting that answer.
No, and everybody laughs. They're like, but how do you teach? And I'm like, oh, no, I teach it on their deck. So like when people come to class, I have them bring their deck and then I show them what to look, you know, or show them how to read their deck. And so I have probably seen hundreds of decks. I don't know how many's out there, but I've seen so many different types of decks and I've played with many decks. But as far as owning, I only own one.
That is pretty amazing.
Isn't that funny? I know. Yeah.
People
laugh at that one.
I don't know how many decks I have, but just the other day I was cleaning out a drawer and I came across a deck that I forgot that I had. It was very colorful. And I thought, oh, look at these beautiful cards. I forgot I had them.
So do you have a favorite deck?
I like the Rider-Waite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I like the symbology. Mm-hmm.
What's your deck?
So I use a deck called Handel. Handel, his name is Herman Handel, who's the author or the artist. And what I love about it is that it's got like astrology symbols and I Ching and Hebrew letters and runes. And gosh, I just feel like every kind of, it's got Kabbalah, you know, sacred geometry. It has so much of the quote unquote occult artistry on them that I love them. And that's probably why I feel they're complete, is that they've got everything I could ever ask for.
What's Herman's last name and how do you spell it?
Yeah, it's Handel. It's Haindle.
Okay. I'm going to find him.
Yeah, find it. They're amazing. They're amazing. Like I said, it's like, that's what's great is like, you know, if you like the Chinese warrior aspect of I Ching, you know, you can use these cards and it will help you with your I Ching practice, you know, or your rune practice or, you know, anything else.
A question I have seen presented in several Facebook groups is, can I buy my own deck or should someone gift it to me for my first deck?
Great question. So I am of the theory that there should be no rules when it comes to tarot. So I believe that if you find your deck and you love it, buy it. Buy it for yourself. Do it. You know, if you've been gifted a deck that you love and you find connected, great. Use it. I am not one to have a lot of rules when it comes to reading or what you should and should not do. The one thing that I do say is that if you find a deck, to ask the question, is this my deck? And pull a card. And even if you can't read it, you'll know the difference between a positive and a negative card. And I shouldn't even say negative, a challenged card. But you can pull it and go, yeah, that feels right. You know, then that's your deck. Doesn't matter if it was bought by somebody or you bought it. Just ask the question, if this is my deck. And the cards will tell you.
When a person goes and buys their first deck, what do you recommend they do so they connect to that deck?
Great. Yes. So if you're like me, I ended up like spending hours at metaphysical bookstores to be able to like to find a deck, in which most of them now have coffee shops connected. So you can sit there and just play with the cards for hours and, you know, ask these questions. But once you know that you've got a deck, I always put them in my pillowcase and slept with them to really get that energy in, to get really connected.
That's what I do.
And did you?
At least three nights.
Yes, yes. Because I think you can get really connected very quickly with your cards that way. Yeah, it's so easy to do, huh? It gives you some fun dreams, doesn't it?
It does, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel. Say that last name again. I can't pronounce your name for the life of me.
Fiorentino.
Fiorentino. Fiorentino. Did I say it right?
Yes, yes. There you go.
Super. From one crone to another, thank you so much for being my guest.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such an honor to be on your show today.
Thank you for joining us for Witchcasting with Theodora Pendragon. Have a burning question or have a topic you'd love Theodora and her guests to discuss on the show? Contact her through Instagram at Theodora Pendragon. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And help us spread the word by leaving us a rating and review and sharing it with your friends. See you next time, and may your magic always shine.